Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 21 through 37. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment." But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, "You fool," you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, "Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce." But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those in ancient times, "You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord." But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word for yes be yes, and your no for no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
May we pray. Oh Lord, life is a lot like jazz. The melody starts out and we're familiar with it. But as the song continues to play, it goes off in another distance. The melody changes. And we think we know the song, yet we're not sure about how it has gone. We wonder where it has gone. The notes continue to play, but they're not so familiar. And then as the song continues, it gradually comes back again to that familiar sound. And we go, "Ah, yes, there it is. There's that familiar sound." Life is like jazz, O Lord. Sometimes it begins how we believe. And then it goes off into another direction and we wonder where it has gone. And then it comes back again. You are faithful, O God. Regardless where our life goes, you go with us to bring us home safe. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Matthew 28 is where I want to take you first. Ben, are you there with the Great Commission, my brother? One of the things I want to bring to our attention is the Great Commission. Because what we're getting ready to talk about, I almost called him Jazz. I've got Jazz on my mind. You know, I liked how that worked out. I liked you reading the scripture and then having the anthem and then the sermon. I may change the order of worship that way. I like that. The Lord may have been nudging us. Do it this way, Randall. Do it this way. I like that. I like that. In the Great Commission, you'll recall that it said that the 11 disciples went to Galilee and to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Remember, after he was raised from the dead. And when some saw him, you recall that there were some there that worshipped him. They believed he had resurrected from the dead, but some doubted. Now, this is the part that I want you to hear. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me." That's important for you and me to hear. Listen to this again. This is what Jesus says. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's important to hear because one day we may hear Jesus say, but I say unto you. Conjunction, junction, what's your function? You see, whenever someone says something to you and me and we say, yeah, but, what have we just done? We've just sort of taken what they said out. We say, well, you know, yeah, but. Jesus says in our text today, you have heard from an old, but I say unto you. And we may say, well, just who do you think you are? Well, the Scripture lets us know who He is. God has let us know who He is. John the Baptist has let us know who He is. He is the Son of the living God. That's who He is. Someone we should listen to when He says, but I say unto you. He tells us in this Great Commission to go. In other words, that is to be our initiative. We aren't to wait on people to come to us. We are to go not only to Jerusalem, but to Judea, Samaria, the other parts of the world. That's what it means by all nations. And not only are we to go, but we are to baptize them. Notice, we're to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because, brothers and sisters, before we can teach anyone to obey the commandments that Jesus taught us, we have to have the Holy Spirit living within us so that we can obey and we can hear and we can learn. You and I cannot obey and learn what Jesus said without the Spirit aiding us in doing so. It's hard, it's impossible to live a Christian life without the Holy Spirit, who is the power of the Almighty God, living within us, allowing us to live that life out. You and I cannot do it on our own power. We must have the empowering Spirit of the Holy Spirit living within us before we can obey, before we can learn, before we can be taught what Jesus is teaching us through Matthew 5 through 7 when He talks about how you and I are to live. If we do not have the Holy Spirit living within us, we can't live this way. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what He's asking us to do. We don't know when we have hit the mark and when we have missed the mark. And the good news is that He says that He's with us always to the ends of the world. The first thing that Jesus wants us to know about is we're not supposed to murder. I don't know about you, but I don't get up every day going, you know, I hope I don't kill somebody today. I hope I don't take this gun I've got and pull it out and kill somebody. I hope the guy at the restaurant gets my order right, because you know I woke up on the wrong side of the bed today. Of course, see, you and I, we don't wake up and talk about trying not to kill somebody. Of course, I do remember Billy Graham's wife who asked if she had ever thought about divorce, Billy. And she said, divorce, no. Murder, yes. You remember when she said that? You remember when Miss Graham said that? One of the things that God would have you and me to do before it ever got that far was to intercept feelings that can sometimes lead to murder, can sometimes lead to divorce, can sometimes lead to adultery, that can sometimes lead to telling a lie, that can lead to swearing. You remember when we used to say as a kid, we used to say to someone, do you swear? You remember what we used to say? Cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. That's what we used to say. One of the things that God would have us to do before we ever got to that place is to capture and to stop the feelings that can lead there. And the first step that we need to be aware of concerning our self-control is anger. Now, you and me get angry at times, and you and I as Christians get angry at times, and it's not a sin to get angry. You know what the Bible says about anger. Paul said, be angry, but what? Be angry, but do not sin. That's what he said. Be angry, but do not sin. In other words, don't let your anger go beyond where it should go. Now, when should you and I be angry? When should Christians be angry? Well, one point you and I need to be angry is when there's injustice. That's when we should be angry, when something's not right. When someone is doing something that's not fair for all and is benefiting from it, at the cost of the other instead of at the benefit of all. That should make us angry. That should make us mad. We shouldn't be happy about that. But we should have self-control of our anger. We should be in control of it. It should not be in control of us. When we allow our anger to get out of control, we can go to that next step and start thinking people are empty-headed, or as the Bible says, raca. Have you ever heard of that? Do you remember in youth group when you heard not to call anybody raca, and under your breath you went, raca, 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 raca? Of course, you and I grew up saying you're not supposed to call people fools. You and I have heard about that. I heard Dr. Gordon Goodgame at First Seminary define raca as calling somebody a put-down name, dehumanizing people, making them an object instead of a human being. Anger can lead us that way if we don't capture it and control it and use it for good instead of using it for self-avenging. Sometimes anger can get away from us. And Scripture says that if it does, it's going to destroy you and me. It can destroy the people we love, as well as the people around us. If you and I have something against one another, you and I need to go and we need to correct that. Notice when it said go, you know, in the Great Commission it says to go, for you and me to go. Notice it says that if you and I are sitting in church and the offering plate comes around, of course, you know, and we start to put our offering in our offering plate, and before we do, we remember that there is somebody who has something against us. Did you hear that? Someone has something against us. Not that we have something against someone else, but that somebody else has something against us. Now, how are you and I going to know that? How are you and I going to know that? Well, we might know it. We might come to know it. But if we are aware that someone has something against us, God says not to put him first, but to go and to make it right with your neighbor and then come back and give your offering. That's how important it is for God, for you and me to be in relationship. It's that important. Because God knows that if you and I are angry at one another, if we don't grab a hold of that and control that and use that for good, that if we nurture that and nurse that, we may start taking that next step and dehumanizing someone and then start doing something that we may regret later on. So God would have us to stop it at the beginning so that it doesn't grow and fester and become something a lot worse. You and I know that whenever we are angry, it can affect our marriage. I shared this at 9 o'clock, and of course those at 9 o'clock went to Sunday school and told my wife, so I'm going to have to tell it again, I guess, so that she'll know whether I told it right or not. Mary and I are just like you. A preacher and his wife gets along just like you all get along with one another. Of course, you all can say, well, let's pray for Mary and Randall. Anger can be very destructive to ourselves and to our relationships if we allow it. One of the things that I just really can't deal with is when things get out of my control. I don't know if you're like that. Have you ever gotten angry or frustrated or mad because there was something going on in your life that you just couldn't fix or couldn't do anything about? I mean, you just sort of had to experience. I don't like that about life. I get angry about that in life. And sometimes I show it, and sometimes I show it in healthy ways, and sometimes I don't show it in healthy ways. Mary was driving the other day, and why she lets me ride with her, I don't know, but she does. We were going to Fort Oglethorpe, and we were going to Hamrick's. They had a sale on there, and Mary needed some things. And you know where Fort O High School is, right? You know where Fort Oglethorpe High School is? And you know that it's almost right across from Hamrick's, right? Have you been in Fort O? Well, there's a turnoff there that's a very short turnoff. that if you will take that, you can turn left. There's no light there. You know, you can go on up and there's a light and you can cross. But there's a shortcut there that you can take across. Well, see, I don't know if Mary was aware of it or not, or had been there or not, but I motioned that way to go across there. And as you know, if you've ever been there, you can go so far in that lane to turn left. But if you go farther, you will be in the traffic that's coming this way, and others will turn right. You know this story is not going to turn out well, don't you? Well, see, I thought Mary knew to stop there. She may not have known to stop there. I assume that she did, but she didn't. So Mary keeps going, and all of a sudden, the light down there turns green, and here comes everybody our way. Well, it would have been really good if I could have gained self-control and said, "Sweetheart, don't look now. But we've gone just a tad further than what we needed to. And if you can just stop just a minute and let the traffic come back by, we can turn around and someone won't hit us head on and kill us. So if you would just do that, I'll sit over here and I won't say another word." Oh, how I wish it could have happened that way. But it didn't happen that way. "Mary, Mary, Mary, you've gone too far. Turn around. And I know that helped her immensely. I know she was over there saying, "Oh Lord, thank you for allowing me to marry this man who loves me and who cares how he treats me and how he knows that body language and the tone of voice speaks so much more than words. And I just praise your name this day." I'm sure she thought, you know, as Miss Graham said, "Murder yes, divorce no." And you see, my uncontrolled anger, it affected our relationship. I didn't want to talk to her the rest of the day. She didn't want to talk to me the rest of my day. Have you ever been there? Huh? I didn't think so. I figured it was just me and Mary. But anger. Sometimes we need to say to the Lord, "Lord, help me with my anger." Anger a lot of times comes because of fear. And when we are afraid, sometimes we can get jealous. We can get insecure because we're afraid of losing something in our life that means so much to us. But when we're angry and out of control, that's not always what people hear. But that's really what's going on. In the movie, and now I've just lost it. Who's My Box of Chocolates? Forrest Gump. Thank you. In that movie, Forrest Gump, there's some words that you may remember that he made famous. One he made famous was, "Life is like a box of chocolates. You just don't know, yeah, what you're going to get." But Forrest Gump had another phrase in that movie that you may have heard. It was with him and the girl, what was her name? Julia? Jenny. It was a part of that movie where Forrest and Jenny were standing at the house where she had been raised in, and she began to relive all of the abuse and the mistreatment that she had received in that house. And you'll recall in the movie she started throwing rocks at it. Do you remember? And the more she threw at it, the harder she threw at it, and the harder she threw at it, the more she picked up, until all of that energy had exhausted her and she fell to the ground. And Forrest Gump looked at Jenny and said, "Sometimes there's just not enough rocks." I don't know if you are a person who deals with anger, and if it's affecting your relationship with yourself and others, You may be the kind of person that gets angry and flares up, and then in a few hours you're fine and you're right back where you were. Or if you're a person who nurses it and it grows and it can turn into something else, that you're really afraid of your own anger, so you sort of stuff it down. Today I ask you and me to deal with that in prayer. I ask you and me to deal with our feelings, to ask God to help us to capture those whenever they seem to get out of control or threaten to get out of control, and to call upon His name to calm us down when we need to be calm. Now, I'm not going to sell you a bill of goods today. I'm not going to promise you that when we pray our prayer today and ask God to do that, that when we go out that door that we're not ever going to do that again, or that it's going to automatically and magically go away. I guess I just want you and me to know that God is still there, and that if we will lean on Him, He will continue to help us, especially if we're still dealing with it and we continue to deal with it. We deal with it because we love God, and He wants us to love ourselves, and He wants us to love others. And He doesn't want you and me to do anything that will hurt ourselves and to go against others that He calls us to love. So I'm going to ask you and me to just use our pews and our chairs as our altar. And I'm going to ask us to bow before God and to bring whatever it is in our lives to the altar and ask God to help us. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, it may not be anger, it may not be that, it may be something else in our life that we are dealing with, and when we think we have a handle on it, it pops up again because something happens that pretty well lets us know that we're not in control. And then instead of trusting and obeying, we start hollering and screaming. And it's because of fear, insecurity, not always being assured of You or ourselves. Sometimes in protection. Sometimes we lose it, O Lord. And we're not proud of that. We become ashamed and humbled. But You want us to know that You still love us and that You're with us and that You'll keep helping us as long as we hold on to Your hand. We pray that that is our relationship with one another. Then when we're not ourselves at days, that we will have people in our lives who know who we are and who we're called to be, and that sometimes days are like that. But we are aware of it, O Lord. Those of us who struggle with whatever it is we struggle with, it's not our desire to continue in that way. We do honestly and openly and honestly do want to change. That's not who we are, and that's not who we have believed You've created us to be. So we hand that to You. We give that to You. And we ask You to help us, regardless what that might be today. Whether it be anger or frustration or just whatever it might be, we give it to You. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may the people of God say together, Amen. Amen.